Welcome, MCU fans, to True Believers, the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast on the Fandom Podcast Network. Here on True Believers, we will discuss the Marvel Cinematic Universe as well as the related television and streaming shows on Disney+. We will also look at the connections that exist to the original Marvel comics and how they relate to the past, current, and future of the MCU. Of course, when we talk this show, it means that there are spoiler warnings ahead. We are going to be talking about the episode, and the episode is the most recent episode of What If, and it's about zombies. So it's going to be a fun and very interesting episode, but you know what? I can't talk What If, and I especially cannot talk What If with zombies by myself. So first and foremost, I am joined by, his head might be in a jar, but he's still here to podcast. He is the co-founder of the Fandom Podcast Network and my co-host here on True Believers, the head of Mr. Kevin Reitzel.
Flash, super Flash. What's up?
I was expecting more like bad Paul Rudd puns there, but hey.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves, okay?
Sorry.
It started already. And the other voice you hear is a man that, Kevin, I'm a little concerned because I don't think we put him through Quantumverse screening when he came back.
No. He didn't get his Quantumverse card filled out twice, so no.
Mm-mm. Oh, man. I mean, we're not going to make it to the end of the show. I can see this now. Of course, he is the Marvel maven, the Star Wars maven, Mr. Drew Kaplan.
Thank you. It's great to be back with you guys.
Drew, there's that MCU Clear app. You can get that card scanned in right there. So just so you know.
I don't trust that Hank Pym decontamination unit. So I'm Kevin. I'm supposed to say I'm putting you in between us. So
okay. All right.
Of course, you know what? We got a lot of great things going on around here at True Believers. If you're listening to this episode, just this past week, we put out our Shang-Chi special review with, of course, Kevin, myself, and Lee Fillingsness, who gave us quite an interesting take on the fight choreography of Shang-Chi, Kevin.
Definitely. That was a lot of fun to do. And Lee knows his martial arts, and it was very interesting to get his perspective on that movie. And that movie's a lot of fun. I've seen it twice already. Drew, have you seen Shang-Chi yet?
No, I'm trying to convince my wife to go Sunday with me.
Okay, it was a spoiler that there's martial arts in it. I don't know if you know that or not, so I apologize.
Sorry about that one, Drew. And of course, too, Kevin, we've got another major project coming up. We're looking at maybe approximately middle of October for the first episode of this project to drop.
Yeah, we are doing a chronological MCU rewatch, otherwise known as the Infinity Saga. And we just actually recorded the first episode of that with here our guest Drew. We did Captain America, the First Avenger. And of course, we're doing it in the chronological version. So this is going to be a lot of fun, kind of taking a stab, so to speak, at this universe, knowing what's happened thus far, what we're in right now. And we're getting an interesting perspective on Captain America going into it. And so look for that in October for that to start. And we're not going to be on a set schedule. We're going to fill in these and do these whenever there's gaps of non-movies, that are new movies that are out, and non-Disney Plus, if there's no Disney Plus series that are currently running. So,
well, and Kevin has a big busy schedule being Trevor Slattery's understudy.
This is true.
Ole, 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 ole.
just remember about the apes, Kevin. That's all we're going to say. Of course, too, check out our True Believers Facebook page. We've got a great group going on there. We keep you updated with all the happenings around the MCU and just related things all together. In fact, I just dropped a video up there, big announcement on the video game side regarding the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Sony PlayStation had a major event today, and they announced three Marvel titles for PlayStation 5. They previewed the new Guardians of the Galaxy game, the new Spider-Man game coming from Insomniac. If you played the original Spider-Man or the Spider-Man Miles Morales game, they are coming out with Spider-Man 2, which is going to have both Peter Parker and Miles Morales in it. And then finally, they have a new Wolverine game that is coming out as well, so a lot of Marvel video games things coming here soon. And of course, too, you know what? We've got so much to do, and there's so many zombies. And you know what? Looks like the zombies might have kind of kicked in, because it looks like we might have lost Mr. Reitzel here for just a minute. You know, that's what happens when we start dealing with the sacred timeline and split offs, Drew, with you never know what's going to happen around here.
The TVA got him.
I'm going to ask you a question.
It was a Nexus event.
We really haven't, while we're waiting for Kevin to come back, we really haven't had you on for much in the way of What If. What have you thought of What If so far, Drew?
So, you know, the first four episodes, we're going to talk about the fifth episode. The first four, I don't know, it's not really been my thing. And I knew that going in. So my expectations were already kind of, managed, as it were. But at the same time, it's been nice to just sit back, enjoy. You know, of course, we have what happened at the season finale of the first season of Loki, where we just have this multiverse and craziness ensues. So I'm just along for the ride. You know, I've liked what we could call sort of the sacred timeline so far of the MCU. And so, we'll see what happens. I mean, the first episode I greatly enjoyed. That was quite a lot of fun.
Captain Carter.
Yeah, that was really great. That was very enjoyable. The last few, especially, I think the last episode, what people have been calling Doctor Strange and, sort of the multiverse of sadness. It was like an incredibly down. It was
very sad. Left from last week.
Yeah. And it's such a weird reversal going from the fourth episode to a little bit of a tease for this episode, where we go from really a focus on one, really one character, and now it's just a bonanza of characters in this one. So it's a huge reversal. But yeah, the first four. Yeah, I mean they've been there. They're not. They're there.
Would you say the first one the standout for you? Because I know a lot of people, and I myself personally, mm-hmm. I really enjoyed episode two with Chadwick Boseman as come back as Black Panther, and what if T'Challa had been Star Lord?
Right. So that was a whole heck of a lot of fun. True. The third and fourth ones less so. I mean, one thing that's ultimately going to be an enduring thing that's going to stand out from What If is having Chadwick Boseman for now, at least for two episodes so far, to get his voice of T'Challa. So that's been a nice bonus, which has been fantastic for us fans.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But as far as, it's weird because going forward, how much do we just all this What If stuff? And even if there are multiple seasons of it, do we just say, oh, these are a whole bunch of just other timelines and these are just What Ifs? They're fun.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, Kevin Feige has called that What If canon. So it's going to be interesting to see how this goes. I want to ask you real quick too, Drew, because we've had a couple of major Marvel trailers hit since the last time we've had you on. So any quick thoughts on Eternals or Spider-Man?
So Eternals, we'll see what happens and how. I mean, it's nice to get a little bit more with the Eternals, the trailer that we've gotten. The Spider-Man one was a lot of fun, and I'm very excited for that. It'll be weird to see I'm very curious about his interactions with Doctor Strange, especially Doctor Strange was very significant in that trailer for Spider-Man. And then, of course, there's all the speculation. Is that really Doctor Strange? Is it someone else? Is it being controlled? Interesting. I don't know. I think it'll be a lot of fun. Should be really, really interesting. And obviously, whatever it does to set up the next Doctor Strange movie, which I was already interested because of WandaVision, it's going to be there for Doctor Strange. So this is going to be a wild ride.
I have a theory that maybe the Doctor Strange we at least see in the beginning of Spider-Man No Way Home might be a Kang variant. Saying, but Kevin, you're back. You seem to have found
Zombie horde got me. Sorry, I had to log off there. I'm back.
Surprisingly, you did find the other part of your body. You came back with a full, So
technical difficulties there. Sorry, guys,
that's quite all right. But we're back, Kevin. It is time to get our snit, our thwip, and our kapow on because we got a little bit of MCU news and it's big news. We were just talking about it. Drew has not contributed to this yet, he's working on it, but Shang-Chi obliterated Labor Day weekend box office records. And we're talking, it wasn't even close here. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Labor Day weekend isn't really a big movie weekend. I think it beat Halloween or something like that, if I remember what the article said. It is a holiday weekend, but it's not known for big movie weekends. But it was smart of them to target a holiday weekend, obviously. And I thought, the buzz around this movie made me kind of feel that a lot more people were braving the theater because it was not being obviously streamed on Disney Plus at a premier price like Black Widow was. And it's also holding a very high rate on, you know, Rotten Tomatoes and other review sites as well. And everyone that I have talked to that have seen it has loved it. So,
well, to give you an idea, Kevin, the Halloween in 2007, wasn't that Rob Zombie's remake of Halloween? If I'm remembering.
2007. Correctly? I think so. Yeah.
That earned $30.6 million over 4 days. Shang-Chi has earned over $90 million in those same 4 days. So, yeah. The power of the MCU is alive and well, contrary to some people's thoughts. Drew, does this kind of just reaffirm that the MCU is still a juggernaut?
I'm so surprised. I mean, I figured Black Widow would be great. And then with Delta, I figured that would have really put a, you know, cooled people down from going to see Shang-Chi. This is fantastic. That's phenomenal.
I think the bigger question for Drew is, are you riddled with guilt for not having contributed to that opening weekend revenue?
No. It seems to be doing all right.
He's going to help to keep the second week number strong.
There you go.
Exactly.
Well, with that, we don't have pretty much. It's a little quiet on the MCU front. I think there's some news coming down the line here, but right now a little quiet. But that means we got a little more time to talk about What If, and it's What If Zombies. But you know, Kevin, this is True Believers. We have a particular way of doing things around here. So can you make like the watcher and tell us what we do here at True Believers?
This is the MCU podcast here, True Believers on the Phantom Podcast Network. And we do not do segments. This podcast, we do phases because it's a Marvel podcast. Phase one, we got the plot description, our reactions and cast comments. Phase two, we've got some trivia for you. We slide into phase three, where we go deep into the plot analysis and ties to the MCU and comics. And then phase four, we close out with our episode final thoughts. So let's get it going here. Let's start off with phase one with Kevin, some plot Kevin. Description.
I just want to say, too, unlike the Watcher, Kevin will interfere.
Yes. I will interfere. All right. Plot description for What If Zombies? Hank Pym searches for Janet Van Dyne in the quantum realm, only to discover she has been zombified by a virus. Van Dyne infects Pym for both return and spread the virus around the world. Weeks later, a group of survivors, Bruce Banner, Hope Van Dyne, Peter Parker, Bucky Barnes, Okoye, Sharon Carter, Happy Hogan, and Kurt, learn of the existence of the camp developing a cure. They are attacked by zombies along the way and lose both Hogan and Carter. Van Dyne is also infected and sacrifices herself, allowing the group to reach the camp. There they discover that Vision has been luring survivors to the camp, including Scott Lang and T'Challa, offering them to an infected Wanda Maximoff. Maximoff breaks free, attracting a zombie horde to the camp. Barnes, Kirk, and Okoye are killed while Vision perishes upon handing over the Mind Stone to Parker, revealing that its power can cure the zombie virus. Banner transformed into the Hulk and battles Maximoff, allowing the others to escape. Parker, Lang, and T'Challa head to Wakanda to broadcast the Mind Stone's energy across the planet, while Wakanda is besieged by another horde led by the zombified Thanos.
Did Barnes actually die? He did die?
He went flying. I don't know.
Wanda sent him away.
Yeah, but he's probably not in real good shape, even if he's alive.
So he has survived worse.
The only thing that was missing from this episode, I'm just going to say, is not having Luis in this.
Paul Rudd did most of the he was most of the comic relief. Yeah,
but what you could have had was Louise be the one to catch up Dr. Banner on the happenings on Earth.
True. Yeah. So let's get some first reactions here, guys. Drew, you're our guest. Let's start with you.
Sure. So I've watched this twice. The first time, I guess I was tired. I didn't. Whatever. It just went. The second time, I had a lot of fun with it. Now, I personally, Infinity War is one of my top five MCU movies. So there was a lot working off of Infinity War in this. So that was a whole heck of a lot of fun. And there's just so much in this. And it's not just because they packed a lot of stuff in, but it really, and the way it finishes off is incredible compared to, like, especially it's a nice tie up from the way we started the episode. So
Kyle,
it was a blast.
I enjoyed this episode immensely. When they announced that they were going to do a Marvel Zombies episode, I was like, oh, this could be the episode that's just catering to those Marvel fanboys, because Marvel Zombies got really popular and really kind of overexposed for a while, but they did a phenomenal job of handling this episode and doing it in a way, this could have gone several different ways, and I think it very much went the right way. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was action-packed. It was fun. I loved how they developed the story and gave you some of those great zombie moments. And I mean, I was telling Kevin this off mic, how essential is it that you must have Okoye, voiced, of course, by Michonne herself, in the episode involving zombies?
definitely. Deny Guria. So I would say last 10 years, 15 years, zombies have become a huge part of pop culture. Of course, you've got The Walking Dead. You know, you've got many of the zombie movies, whether it's World War Z, the
two Zombieland movies.
The Zombieland movies, the Romero films. I mean, you know, even there's zombies on Game of Thrones, what they call them, the
White Walkers.
Yeah, the White Walkers, mm-hmm. You know. And yeah, Zombieland film. Yes, thank you. Those are obviously really good. And so, and also Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies. Remember that one?
don't leave out Zack Snyder's two films.
This true. Yeah, exactly. So it's interesting because, in a way, all of these movies have been kind of keeping with the certain rules of how zombies attack and infect, and how you're supposed to kill them. It's always headshots. You got to destroy the head. You know, you can't just lop off the head. You just got to destroy the head, you know? And so it was interesting to kind of see this and how they were kind of adhering to most of those rules. And so I found that was kind of interesting. Cause I was comparing it to other zombie films and other zombie TV shows and stuff like that. And, you know, there's the question of, you know, how fast does someone turn into a zombie? You know, whether you just get a little nick and it's kind of a gradual thing, or if you get a full on chomp, it pretty much happens right away. These zombies, some are fast, some are not, you know, depending on, you know, where you are, like World War Z, those are fast zombies. Mm. You know? Yeah. You gotta watch out for those. And also the ones I just recently watched, I Am Legend, little bit too. I watched towards the end of it. The movie's a tough watch. I saw it once completely all the way through when it first came out, and I just kind of watched it a little bit, and I forgot how fast those zombies were. But I wanted to ask you guys real quick, comparing everything to the whole zombie, you know, I guess agenda that we have had in the last 10 to 15 years, were you happy with the way it was portrayed, Kyle?
I think in the aspect that I think they portrayed it in the right way, where they, unlike, let's say, like last week's What If, where I don't know if you could have even had kids watching this. I think this is one where you could have had some older kids watch this and be okay with it. They didn't really go for the gore factor or the really like horrific factor of the zombies here. And come on, really, what's more terrifying than the fact that you have superpowered zombies?
Mm-hmm.
It's true. What are your thoughts on that, Drew?
Yeah, I thought it was nicely done. I mean, we get that. I like the way that they introduce it with, it's like they're clouded, like they're kind of in a shroud until you see Bruce Banner saying, well, that's a bit much, it's going overboard when they're eating them. And then of course we have the Watcher saying, well, when the Avengers got involved, that was, you know, sort of the downfall of everything. So it was what Kyle said, I think they did it the right way. It was good.
Drew, you weren't with us last week when Kyle and I were talking about that very depressing Doctor Strange episode.
Yeah.
And I found it unwatchable again. I mean, that's kind of a one and done episode. Mm-hmm. Personal reasons too, but it was just also a very depressing episode.
Yeah.
This one could have gone that direction, but it was saved by the humor, I think. A lot of humor in this one, which I thought was kind of funny. And when you brought up Zombieland earlier, that's what makes Zombieland so much fun, because it was funny.
Yeah.
And I prefer to have funny in my zombies, to be honest with you, because I'll tell you, I quit on Walking Dead after like six or seven seasons because it was just depressing. It was repetitive, it felt like they were going in circles, and I just couldn't watch that show anymore. Mm-hmm. But Zombieland, give me another one. I'll take another Zombieland.
Yeah.
So I found a review. I love going to Den of Geek, and Kristen Howard does great reviews for Den of Geek, and she made some comments on this episode. Some standout moments that were so many fantastic moments, episode 5, that require a rewatch or two to catch them all. First, I got to give a shout out to the Cloak of Levitation. It really is the gift that keeps on giving, kind of like the MCU's version of a silent movie star. That thing surely has saved the day many a times. Avengers by now and asks for nothing in return. The Cloak of Levitation always knows the assignment and always delivers. Mm-hmm. You'll be surprised to learn that I love Peter's glorious zombie training video, which starts off with a distinct mutant enemy-esque ident. By now and And what a smorgasbord of joy. Kirk's ketchup squirting special effects. Bucky listed as silent but deadly. Happy forced to wear a custom Thor shirt of questionable origin. This indestructible clip had everything, didn't it? Peter's struggle to keep hope alive in the zombie apocalypse is an arc that has almost certainly been pulled from Philip Kennedy's Johnson's spectacular Marvel Zombies Resurrection run. And it's just as affecting in this episode as it was in the pages of the Marvel comics. Peter can always be relied upon to maintain his earnest spirit until the bitter end. Kyle, are we going to reference that a little bit later in the show? Do you know what this is?
I will be talking about the comic side of Marvel Zombies here in a little bit. So,
okay. Both Kurt and Happy were terrific additions to the episode. Happy's insistence on yelling blam every time he used the repulsor glove reminded me of Ewan McGregor's behind the scenes at Star Wars Phantom Menace, where he would admit that he made the lightsaber noises out loud when he was filming. And she finishes off saying, of course, this continuing heartbreak of Vision and Wanda's relationship was once again ready to twist the emotional knife. In WandaVision, Wanda couldn't help but use her chaos magic keep Vision around after his death, but here we see the Vision arguably went to more disturbing lengths to contain a zombified Wanda. It was even hard to cope with the monstrous Wanda finding Vision's lifeless body, and yet Marvel still refuses to pay for my therapy. I think that's a pretty good review, Kyle. Are you on that one?
Yeah, no, they hit a lot of things. I absolutely love the Peter video, and I think it was really what kind of gave you a great tone for the rest of this episode too. The Bucky in the shower was great. just everything about that. But no, I think that this episode really had a nice balance to it, and it's reflected in this review too, because you do have the humor of it, but you also had a lot of that emotion with the Wanda and Vision things going on.
What about you, Drew? How do you feel about this review? Did it bring up anything, too, that you also enjoyed?
I mean, the Cloak of Levitation was fantastic. Again, like, she nailed that for sure. You know, there's a lot of, I mean, yes, the Spider-Man stuff, the video that was fun. There was also a lot of stuff in there that just appeared on screen that they didn't really discuss, like, you know, Bucky Barnes is a great sleeper, you know, stuff like that. There's a lot of humor injected there, just sort of, they didn't spend a lot of time on it. It was just there. Yes. I mean,
how about Scott Lang getting the Futurama head in a jar?
I know, that was great.
And Okoye says, don't cry, you're going to fog up your dome. Mm-hmm. Let's touch on the cast here. We had, of course, Jeffrey Wright returning as the voice of the Watcher. We had Mark Ruffalo as Bruce. Chadwick Boseman returns as T'Challa. Paul Bettany as Vision. Sebastian Stan as Bucky. Evangeline Lilly as Hope. Of course, Paul Rudd as Scott. Jon Favreau as Happy. Denai as Okoye. Emily Van Camp also came in as Sharon Carter. David Dachmalchian as Kurt. Hudson Thames played the voice of Peter Parker, Spider-Man. Tom Von Lawler played Ebony Maw. And Mick Wingert played the voice of Tony Stark / Iron Man. Drew, thoughts on the cast? Most of the Avengers voice their own characters.
It's phenomenal. And then I was mentioning earlier, one of the great lovely legacies of What If is getting some more Chadwick Boseman voicing T'Challa. This is the second episode we've had him back. Maybe we'll have more. I don't know. What actually stood out to me, obviously, Paul Rudd, that was just hilarious. That was really fun. And Paul Bettany was solid, but Sebastian Stan, like, really stood out for me. I mean, obviously, we've got a lot of him in Falcon and Winter Soldier, but this was just, that was just very enjoyable every time he was on screen.
Your arm is made of metal. Kyle, thoughts on the cast, man? Pretty stacked still.
Oh, very stacked. Obviously, I want to actually talk about the people who aren't part of the regular MCU. We have, of course, the fun of David Dastmalchian. He did a phenomenal job voicing Kurt. And of course, David Dastmalchian also was Polka Dot Man in the recent Suicide Squad movie. So he's got full cred now in both universes. So
this is true. Yes.
And I got to give a shout out. Obviously, I knew when we were going to have Spider-Man, we weren't getting Tom Holland to voice because of the whole Sony situation.
I'm not single. I'm saving myself for Thor. I'm sorry. That t-shirt that happens.
But I want to give, like I said, I knew we weren't going to get Tom Holland because of the Sony situation with him and things like that. But Hudson Thames, who voiced Peter Parker in this, did an outstanding job as Spider-Man in this episode. And I thought he was very enjoyable.
Yeah, he got the youthfulness and the peppiness and the funny quirkiness humor. He nailed it.
Yeah, and Evangeline Lilly, I'm always happy to see her get a little bit more run in the MCU. And I agree with you on Sebastian Stan too. But again, getting denied Guerrero, if you don't get the Walking Dead tie in there. You have no fandom soul because as soon as I saw her on the cast list for this, I'm like, yeah, of course she's in this episode.
Wait, you want me to voice Okoye and we're talking about zombies? Okay.
And of course, she's kind of the leader in this aspect as well. So that's even better. The casts are wonderful in this and they just did a phenomenal, across the board, another phenomenal job with the voice acting. I mean, even in we talked about last week, even as depressing as Doctor Strange was, that was a tour de force performance voice acting by Benedict Cumberbatch in that episode.
Question. Before we head into phase two, their little command center was suspended, but looked like webbing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was it webbing?
Yeah, it was Spider-Man. Yeah.
So that stuff doesn't dissolve after a while?
And normally it's supposed to dissolve after an hour, but hey, you know, Peter's always messing with the formula, so.
And definitely, and also maybe in that universe, it does last.
Yeah,
true. A good way to stay away from zombies that way. Yeah, that's good. All right, guys, let's head into phase two with some trivia. A little paper zombie at the beginning of Spider-Man's video is a nod to Mutant Enemy Productions, the company of Joss Whedon, director of The Avengers and Avengers Age of Ultron. I did catch that. Of course, if you watched Buffy all those years and Angel and Firefly or whatever, definitely got that. When Spider-Man wears Doctor Strange's cape, it is a fusion of the most famous Marvel Comics co-creations of artist-writer Steve Ditko. I know he's a legend in the Marvel Universe, Kyle. What does he mean that it's a fusion?
It's the aspect Steve Ditko was the artist that helped create Doctor Strange and Spider-Man. So it's kind of two of his big creations. And since we're at this point, I just got to say, the Cloak of Levitation might be the overall star of What If at this point.
Yeah. I'm going to bring it up a little bit later in phase three because I really want to talk about the cloak here because cloak's important. As we mentioned, Danai reprises her role of Okoye from Black Panther. And of course, she was in The Walking Dead as Michonne. This episode is the first appearance of Marvel zombies in the MCU. And we'll dive more into that into phase three. The Watcher states that the main events of Ant-Man and the Wasp 2018 take place 2 weeks before the start of Avengers Infinity War 2018. I guess that kind of helps us out a little bit there, Kyle.
Yeah, I find it a very coincidental that this episode comes out and identifies that when a lot of people have been starting to go like, when does Ant-Man and the Wasp really take place? What's the time frame on this?
Drew, we brought that up because we were trying to figure out exactly where to fit that movie in the chronological rewatch. And it makes sense that it happens right before Infinity War.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow. Black Panther is held prisoner by Vision as a food source for zombie Wanda Maximoff. The same thing happens to him in Marvel Zombies comics, only instead Hank Pym kidnaps him as food for himself. The ending suggests that zombie Thanos still needs the Mind Stone to snap his fingers, just like in Infinity War, hinting that this episode is not over and ended on a cliffhanger. And last but not least on trivia, the first mention of Uncle Ben in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Big thing right there, actually.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break here from our True Believers Marvel MCU discussion and let you know what other great podcasts are here on the Fandom Podcast Network. And we'll be right back with Zombies! Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to continue to feed your ears by inviting you to listen to these other great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, discussing the latest in entertainment pop culture. Blood of Kings, Immortals Take Notice, our show covering the entire Highlander universe. Couch Potato Theaters, where we celebrate our favorite movies. Time Warp, the Fandom Flashback podcast discussing a year in movies and our favorite retro movie and TV pop culture topics. Good Evening, discussing all things Alfred Hitchcock. Union Federation, our Star Trek and Orville show. Hair Metal, the 80s and early 90s rock metal podcast. Type 40, our show covering the time-traveling Doctor Who universe with host Dan Hadley. Lethal Mullet, an 80s and 90s action film podcast with host Adam P. O'Brien. Also check out the Lethal Mullet Network for more great podcasts. What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast with hosts Scott, Derek, and Nathan. Making Treks, a Star Trek podcast, a deep dive into the final frontier with hosts Mark Newbold and Adam P. O'Brien. And check out our newest shows, The Fandom Show, our monthly Fandom Podcast Network live YouTube exclusive show about the month's hottest topics in fandom, and the FPN True Believers MCU podcast, discussing the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the related Marvel television and streaming MCU universe, including the connections to the original Marvel comics. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on several platforms. Please subscribe to the Fandom Podcast Network YouTube channel to receive notifications of new podcast episodes and live events. You can enjoy all of the Fandom Podcast Network audio podcasts on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on all major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcast and iTunes. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can also find the Fandom Podcast Network on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network and on Twitter at FanPod Network. Thank you for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom. All right, welcome back to True Believers Marvel MCU Podcast. We are discussing the latest episode of What If? Zombies! Episode 5 of What If? And we are entering phase 3 of our show right now. And this is where we dive deep into the plot analysis, talk about ties to the MCU in comics. And Kyle, of course, we want to start with you here. I always ask the first question, what does this What If episode, does it have any similarities to any What If Marvel comic books? And apparently, yes.
Well, not so much a What If Marvel comic books, but we need to talk about the history and the phenomenon that is and was Marvel Zombies. So around the period of 2005, Marvel was having great success with a line called the Ultimate Line, where they had taken X-Men, Spider-Man, and then and had created like these alternate tales of these characters, kind of like if they were starting in the modern era now. Well, it became so popular that another book they did was Ultimate Fantastic Four, written by Mark Millar. In issues 21 through 23, they did a storyline where the Reed Richards of that particular universe was looking through things and looking at alternate Earths, and he found an alternate Earth that was populated by zombies. And in the crossover story arc, it was, you find out that Reed Richards of this universe had been monitoring this zombie MCU, which eventually became its own Earth. It was such a popular thing, and I'm going to tell you right now, those issues were dark. These were not like the Marvel Zombies we just saw in What If. These were more of the, it's a dark movie, it's a scary movie, it's not a pleasant place, Marvel Zombies. But the issues became so popular that Marvel decided they wanted to do a spinoff. So in late 2005 through 2006, they decided to revisit the zombie world and hired the man who probably knows more about zombies in comics than anybody right now, the man who created The Walking Dead, Robert Kirkman. He wrote this 5-issue miniseries with Sean Phillips as the illustrator. Kirkman was Marvel's first choice to write Marvel Zombies, an offer Kirkman immediately accepted because of his love for zombies and Marvel comic books, feeling he couldn't pass up such an opportunity. He also expressed excitement upon learning which artist would be in charge of illustrating the series. Kirkman was a longtime fan of Phillips' work, like in DC Comics Sleeper. Kirkman also didn't fear being typecast as the superhero guy or the zombie guy because of his work on that series and other things he's done. There was enough variety in his superhero work to keep things interesting. Marvel Zombies became absolutely huge for about a 5-year period. And I mean, they did.
So these are very popular comic books then.
Yes, they were very, very popular. They kind of, like anything else, it gets really hot. They put them everywhere and they kind of burn it out. They had two very popular miniseries. They obviously, the first Marvel Zombies series, and then you referenced it earlier, Marvel Zombies Resurrection, where they went back to that planet with a few of the surviving heroes, including Spider-Man at that point. But the Marvel Zombie world was dark. And in fact, one of the stories they did as a side story was Galactus comes to the Marvel Zombies Earth to eat it, except the zombies win and they eat Galactus.
Right.
So that was quite a cosmic meal for them. And I mean, the zombie infection on that particular universe and the zombie universe spread throughout the galaxy. I mean, there was members of the Guardians out in space that were zombies. So it was,
oh wow,
it was a massive infestation that they built a lot of stories out of. It kind of died off for a while. I'm curious to see if What If is going to rekindle the love for Marvel Zombies here, because I think I think they could do more, whether it's an animated or maybe even something live action down the line, depending on what they do with Multiverse of Madness. I honestly could say I would not be surprised to see a couple Marvel Zombies in Multiverse of Madness. I think there's a distinct possibility of that.
Okay. I want to ask you your opinion about something, Drew, and Kyle, you can chime in after Drew, because I think that this zombie phenomenon is fascinating for several reasons. But I'm wondering, why are zombies so popular? Why is it that something that, over the last 15, 20 years, the topic of zombies and zombie apocalypse is more prevalent than anything we've ever had. And when you look at what can threaten the human race, you got zombies, you got alien invasion, you got possible vampires and other supernatural creatures. I think that when it comes down to the most realistic threat of these ones that we have made up, maybe, zombies seem to be the one that could actually possibly happen, especially with the whole COVID thing. You never know what that could transform into. The Delta variant could just be the redheaded stepchild of the zombie variant. Who knows? But Drew, why do you think we like zombies so much, and why is it working for Marvel, you think?
This is a great question. My shooting off the cuff speculation is, you know, it's kind of like we are our own enemy, and at the same time, it's also it's a fascinating enemy to, I don't know, I think there's also a fascination with just kind of like red shirting people, just like shooting, you know, like, oh, we're bad versions of us, and being able to just sort of shoot. But usually actually zombies aren't, I mean, we sometimes can in different media perceive them as sort of just, you know, just fodder for just shooting. But I think it's also usually, and that's certainly how it comes in this, it manifests more as like it's a danger, it's a threat to us. So maybe it's just kind of like a fifth column within us. I don't know.
What do you think, Kyle? Why are we so fascinated with zombies? Is it because it could happen?
I think there's that. There's this, I think zombies are a big fear of something that could happen because of just the way the world is. I also think it's this. I think because when the zombie genre kind of made its comeback, and I always kind of look back to Zack Snyder's remake of Dawn of the Dead, and he introduced zombies. You had fast zombies. You had the thing about zombies was you could always felt like you could get away from them. They were maybe in hordes, but they were slow. All of a sudden, we've got fast zombies. We've got, and I think it sparked a lot of things because you had that, then you had 28 Days Later, and the zombies were coming from different things. Some of it was viruses. Some of it was some other things. Some of it was supernatural. But I also think, especially once you hit Walking Dead, the comic, and what Kirkman did there, Kirkman kind of flipped it, and where the zombies were kind of there, but it was more about the human condition and how we handled the zombie, how humans reacted in the zombie apocalypse. And I think it, that brought an angle that a lot of people found interesting. So zombies became kind of a catalyst more for worse things. And I think that's where we've kind of gone. You even kind of see it, that same kind of thing in the movie A Quiet Place 2, where they talk about the surviving humans are worse than the creatures that are out there now. So
You also got that in The Walking Dead a lot, that the surviving humans were worse than the zombies. And that was like the main threat after the longest time, you know?
Yeah.
So when it... When it comes to Marvel in the MCU, first of all, Kyle, last week we kind of got fooled when we thought we were going to get another What If episode. We thought it was going to be this Thor episode.
You lied to us, IMDb.
Yeah, IMDb lied to us. And then all of a sudden, boom, no, it's the zombie one. Do you think that we should get a live action call out to this in a future film?
Again, I think it's a possibility considering what they've got planned for Doctor Strange with the Multiverse of Madness. Like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if one of them, if they're hopping, let's say they're just hopping different multiverses, that they at least have a quick hop in and we see a Marvel zombie version of Cap or something like that. You know, not anything long, but we get a little.
Well, Wanda Maximoff is supposed to be in that movie and have a major part in it.
Yeah. So all I'm saying is I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know if we'd ever get like a live action Marvel Zombies movie, but I could see another animated thing with Marvel Zombies that's a little bit on the darker side.
I think if I caught it correctly, in Spider-Man Far From Home, there's like a scene where there's like a zombie Iron Man.
Remember seeing that.
It might have been like in a weird dream or something like that. I don't know if it was actually a zombie.
You mean No Way Home?
Maybe
the one in Europe. Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, no.
I don't remember that.
I think it was just a nightmare scene.
Okay,
that you were thinking about. No, they have not. Again, they hadn't referenced Marvel Zombies till this What If episode.
Okay, well, nightmare scene is still on screen, right? Yeah. Okay.
So, question for you guys: we touched on it earlier. Let's talk about the cloak of levitation, please. A full-fledged member of the Avengers. Let's just recognize that right now. I mean, yes, he's allows Strange to fly, and he's got his own little thing. But to me, it almost feels like the cloak is kind of like Mjolnir or Mew Mew, if you're talking to Darcy, that it has to help someone that's worthy and someone that it likes. Would Kyle, do you think that, and you know the comics better than I do, has the Cloak of Levitation had this type of character before?
Not quite to this extent that I've ever seen.
So they're having fun with it in the MCU then?
Yeah, they're definitely having a little more fun with it in the MCU. I think too, Kevin, I mean, I understand where you're coming with the Mjolnir, but I think the Cloak of Levitation really it's got its own personality. It's got its own way it thinks. It's got its own way it behaves, where the hammer is just a tool. Yes, you have to be worthy to lift it, but there's so much more to the Cloak of Levitation. And yeah, I think it's going to help who it likes more than anything. Where with the hammer, you just have to be worthy of it. But with the cloak, if it likes you. And I mean, it even kind of made it kind of a little bit even in Avengers Infinity War. There was a little thing between the cloak and Spider-Man and even that. So
yeah, I mean, it even like helped fight against Zombie Wong, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, let's be honest here. At this point in my mind, there's three characters that have been in multiple What If episodes, either mentioned or been a big part of multiple What If episodes. That's the Cloak of Levitation, Hope Van Dyne, because she was, even though she was passed away, she was a big part of the third episode of What If, and a certain octopus tentacled demon that's appeared in a few episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of wondering if, because these particular things have shown up in multiple episodes with a fairly significant piece to them, if they're not going to be key players down the road, if we have some What If where maybe some of this stuff ties in together or something like that.
Drew, I got to tell you, there's always that famous question of all of the Marvel artifacts, which one would you own? Of course, you got Mjolnir and you've got Cap's shield. I tell you, the Cloak of Levitation is highly rising on my list right now.
It's so much fun. It's so much fun, and it always, I mean, it does what it's supposed to do, but it also, I mean, the hilarious thing is it has a personality, which is the funniest thing about it.
Yeah.
I just, Kevin, I just want to, I know some things about the Cloak of Levitation. It is a little bit of a diva. High dry cleaning bills.
It's picky where you get it dry cleaned, I guess, yeah. Right? we touched on this already a little bit about the Peter Zombie video. I thought it was hilarious, but it's also a great way to introduce us as you know, the watchers of this episode, of what's going on, how you can be infected, you know, what people are doing to survive. I thought that was really good. I love the whole call out, Kurt, referring to the Scarlet Witch as the Baba Yaga, which is funny because if you're a John Wick fan, that's who he's referred to as, the Baba Yaga. Happy just, yeah, going blam, blam, blam.
Well, even Zombie Happy went blam.
Yeah.
Yes. But I want to ask you guys, worst scariest zombie, Wanda, Thanos, feel free to do a write-in. Drew, which is the scariest zombie? Wanda or Thanos, or do you have a write-in?
I want to say Wanda, but we don't know what zombie Thanos is capable of doing, especially now that he's got 5 out of the 6 Infinity Stones. So who knows?
Yeah, Kyle?
Well, Thanos and Wanda are up there, but I'm going to say I'm a little scared of Ebony Maw, too, because he can just pull you towards him, and you can't really stop it, and he can just kind of pull you in and start chomping on you. That's not something I want ability to necessarily want to have a zombie have. But I'm also thinking zombie Janet Van or Hope Van Dyne at this point, because she's like super huge. And I'm like,
yeah. Zombie Hulk?
I don't think you get Zombie Hulk, though. I think Zombie Hulk,
he's immune.
I think they couldn't bite through the Hulk skin. Mm-hmm. I think. Yeah. So something else I want to bring out real quick, since you mentioned Kurt. I love the fact that these What If episodes are taking some of these more obscure characters from the MCU and giving them some prominence in some of these episodes, like especially with Happy and Kurt and Sharon Carter in this episode. So you're taking some of the characters, and I just love.
I didn't see Kurt coming back in anything like yeah, this except an Ant-Man movie, and I thought that was great.
Like you said, the most common people you would have thought of would have been Louise, but the fact that he's Kurt, I think, was great.
Ooh, what about a zombie Louise? What if he had his head in a jar? That would have been funny.
Oh, that would have been. That's what it should have been. There we go.
They could do it.
Okay, so I want to, before I get into the next few things, guys, and Drew, I want to get your opinion on this because of What If. They're taking chances that we normally wouldn't take in the MCU. They're having some fun with it. But they're getting dark with it, too. Like, you know, when the last one with Doctor Strange, the one prior to that, when we lost all of our heroes. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for a pick-me-up. Thank God this one was funny. What are your thoughts on the tone of What If thus far?
Interesting. Wow. I mean, I don't know. It could just keep being dark for all we know. And who knows, maybe the next one will have the Guardians of the Galaxy just come and save everybody. Not that that will necessarily happen. I don't know. I mean, it could ultimately, you know what, in a more meta sort of perspective, I mean, I think this is a great opportunity for darker stuff, just because it really holds up the sacred timeline as saying, this is really good. There are so many alternate realities that could be so horrifically worse. So I don't know. Who knows? Maybe we'll have a good pick me up episode here or there.
What are your thoughts on What If and how dark it's becoming, Kyle?
Again, I've read the comics. So the comics, like I've said many a time, they weren't always happy. In fact, more What Ifs ended on a not so great note comparatively to what was a happy note. But I think they found a good balance here. Obviously, I think the darkest they've gone is the Doctor Strange episode. I have a feeling we have probably one more episode of like that's going to be that dark, but I think we have a couple more. I think there's going to be that Thor What If that's coming, and I think that's going to be a fairly fun and lighthearted episode where we just are dealing with a really jerk of a Thor, probably, but not anything too dark. But I'm going to be curious to see which directions they go in. And I still wonder if that, before it's all said and done, one of these episodes is really going to focus on the Watcher.
So. That would be interesting. So I want to ask you guys if you had any standouts or shout outs. I just want to shout out one of my favorite lines from the episode where Peter goes to Okoye, splitting up, do you guys just not have horror movies in Wakanda? Okoye says, we don't need them. We have American reality shows. And Kurt goes, boom, there goes dynamite. That was solid burn on all of us.
Although, you know what was fascinating? After the train station, all that scene, Okoye admits, you know what? We probably should have stayed together.
Yeah, yeah, she does. Do you, Drew, do you have any other standouts or shout-outs of this episode that you thought was really cool or funny?
So we can get on the granular stuff. But for me, the two major standout things were actually of a broader nature. One is you know, Hank Pym talks about the quantum realm as you know, having danger. It's a dangerous thing. And he talks about losing his wife. But, you know, so far in at least the sacred timeline so far in the MCU, all we've seen out of the quantum realm is opportunity and good things, because we've seen, you know, we've just seen Scott Lang using it for opportunity, even bringing Hank Pym's wife back, which is really fantastic. And here we get the flip side, which is not everything in the quantum realm is good. You can bring back bad. So I think that was a nice manifestation of danger emanating from the quantum realm, which I think was good. But I didn't really appreciate this until the second watching. But when you first have a Hulk landing in New York, so the first thing he talks about is, I got to warn people about Thanos, like Thanos. And then obviously see Ebony Maw, and, you know, and so he's dealing with that issue. And then we have zombies, and zombies takes over the entire episode until the very end when we get zombie Thanos. And so that's really the big bad of the entire episode. Really, it's been about Thanos all along. And so that was such a beautiful sort of a literary envelope, so to speak, to get that at the end, which the danger that we totally forgot about from the very outset of the episode, which is Thanos, we totally forgot about him. Turns out he actually really is the big bad danger that looms at the very end.
He still is. Yeah. Yeah. Well said. Kyle, do you have any other standouts or shout outs? Anything else you really enjoyed in this?
Drew stole my thunder a little bit, because I agree with him on that. I love, but I also love that whole scene where Bruce confronts Ebony Maw and then the zombie Stark and the men show up, and he's like, oh yeah, get him, guys. Oh, that's a little much, guys. Oh, and just how that whole scene plays down. That was great acting by Ruffalo. But yeah, to have the full circle and have it be where you have the watch. See, that, again, this is why it kind of ends on a cliffhanger, but the Watcher gives you that impending sense of doom with his final comment, because he's talking about they're basically bringing the Mind Stone to Thanos and not even realizing it. Like this is not going to end well, but they don't really show it to you like we saw with Doctor Strange. You just kind of get left hanging there. But I come back to the fact that I just think they did such a great job of balancing this episode and not letting it go too far in any one direction. And it was a very tricky plot to do with Marvel Zombies, and I think they handled it very well.
I was really I liked how much time that Hope had in this. Hope Van Dyne, and mm-hmm. and even though she ended up dying and giving herself up, she had a big part. I liked how she was on the train. She's like, "Oh, I'm covered in Sharon."
Oh, that was bad. That's just not right.
Okay, Drew, mm-hmm. I want to ask you. So they were heading back to Wakanda because Wakanda's shield was protecting Wakanda from all the zombies, and the zombies were banging on the shield, and then it cuts to Thanos, zombie Thanos. We have a little fun here at the one of the last questions that we ask here in Phase 3 is, if there is a sequel to this episode, where does the sequel go from here? What do you think? What do you want to see?
So I have two answers. And so the first answer is, I mean, we have the Watcher saying, well, they're trying to save their planet, but at the expense of the universe. So I imagine the sequel would show that somehow once Thanos gets this sixth stone, who knows what's going to happen to the universe. At the other hand, all we've seen so far, we've seen none of the Guardians of the Galaxy. Thor's not in this. So basically it's only Earth, you know, sort of creatures, as it were, Earth Avengers. And this is a great opportunity for the Guardians of the Galaxy, for Thor to come in. So that's where I would see it going from there.
That's good, because Kyle, if they do find a way, if this stone they got from Vision is able to, I guess, get rid of the zombie apocalypse, do we want to have Thanos back to normal?
Well, but that's the question. Let's just say they arrive and we see that Thanos has the Infinity Gauntlet. What does zombie Thanos do with the Infinity Gauntlet?
Yeah.
Remember, they're not dead. They're infected. And they were going to make a cure with the Mind Stone.
But Thanos had skin coming off of it. You can see his bone.
Because they were gnawed on, but they're still not dead, per se. They're infected with a virus from the quantum realm. So who knows what all the properties are of this virus. But I think Drew really hit it on the head. If nothing else, you could have some Asgardians show up. You could have the Guardians show up. Howard the Duck could show up for you, Kevin. but I think if you're going to do a sequel, that's where you go with it.
I don't want a zombie Howard the Duck. He's more fun when he's not zombie. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. So I think you could go that way as well. I do think we are going to get another if we get more seasons of What If down the line, I do think another Marvel Zombies episode, whether it's continuing right where this episode picks off or like another tale of the Marvel Zombies, we are going to get more Marvel Zombies if we get more What If. I truly do believe that.
So I guess you got to ask now, since you brought up Howard the Duck, do you think he should be introduced again in live action?
He already has been.
Yeah.
I mean, like a bigger part again. Guardians 3, maybe? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Of course, No. The Guardians Christmas special.
The last time we saw Howard, he was there fighting with all the Avengers, you know, there in, upstate New York against Thanos. So, Drew, did you ever see the original Howard the Duck?
No, but I feel like I should now.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's head into phase four. Let's get our final thoughts on this episode. I want to just start off by saying I'm enjoying the What If series. I would like it to lighten up a little bit more. I'm still going to continue watching it. This is an episode I do find rewatchable, and I probably will rewatch because it's funny. And I think that's important. Seeing Scott Lang crack all the zombie head jokes and all that kind of stuff was great. And the cloak of levitation making him portable, which I thought was good too. The shout out to also Captain America and Captain America Winter Soldier when they have to go to the old army base in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Of course, we got to go to New Jersey, as Happy says. it's nice to hear Chadwick Boseman's voice again. I'll tell you that right now. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to hear him again in another episode. I hope so, but I'm liking the chances that they are taking. Maybe I don't like every single episode like the last one, but I'm glad that they did this, and I'm very excited for seeing what else happens. Drew, final thoughts on this episode?
It was a lot of fun. One of the things that I actually am still really impressed by. I mean, we've talked about the humor. They packed a lot in. They packed a lot of characters in. I'm impressed they were able to do that the entire time. Keep the story moving. There was a lot, but it didn't feel like too much. So it was really, I think Kyle mentioned, really well balanced. And so it was a really fascinating story throughout. And like I said, it's really bringing the Pym, the warnings he's given about the quantum realm finally coming to reality. And then also, you know, the Thanos at the very beginning is really the overarching danger that really ultimately comes to fruition at the end. So it's a really well-designed episode.
I would agree. Yeah. Kyle, your final thoughts?
A couple of things here. Let's talk about the episode itself and the aspect of one of the things, too, that I really liked about this episode was that everybody who was a survivor, for the most part, got confronted with something that they or somebody they love in a zombified form. You know, you had Sharon and Bucky have to face Cap and Sam. You had Janet having to live with the guilt of her dad and her actions bringing this forth. And then you have Scott finding out what happened to Janet. So there was a lot of that. Obviously, Spider-Man, the focus on him keeping things with the levity, the absolute emotional powerhouse of the WandaVision stuff. And talk about if you would have known. And Kevin, I know you posted this particular meme on the True Believers Facebook page when Chadwick Boseman is talking about as long as the memories that keeps them alive.
Yeah. If you lose someone, as long as you have their memories, it keeps them alive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got to think he knew when he was probably saying that line. And so when you go back and think about that,
that's an interesting question to ponder.
So as far as that goes, I mean, to me, this was the most balanced and most fun episode of What If, and I think, in my opinion, the most rewatchable episode of What If. The series itself is, like I said, I'm a huge fan of what they're doing. They're taking chances. It's not going to be for everybody. I think we still are going to have some comedy episodes. We're going to have some darker episodes still, but I love what they're doing overall with this concept. I love the fact that we know it's canon. So there's going to be ramifications from What If. And I think that's the curiosity everybody has, is what is going to be the future ramifications of What If. And so I'm curious to see how that plays out the rest of the way. We're halfway through this run now. We got 5 more episodes to go. We know we've got a Thor episode coming up. We're not quite sure, not a whole lot sure of what else is going to be going on after that, but it's going to be interesting to see. I'm thoroughly enjoying this. I love the animation. I cannot wait for what else is going to come with What If. It's been an enjoyable ride through the first half. I think the second half is going to be just as enjoyable.
I think they're 9 episodes, right? 9 episodes this season?
It's 10, I believe.
10?
I think this has been a good kind of in-betweener Marvel fix, you know, between these movies that are coming out and then the live action series, which I believe next, Kyle, is Hawkeye, correct?
Hawkeye is the next Disney Plus series, yes. We will obviously have Eternals in the Hawkeye, and then right after the first of the year, Ms. Marvel. And of course, Spider-Man. Gotcha. Spider-Man No Way Home between there. So, and then early next year, too, we're coming up fast on Doctor Strange, which I think is going to be I think that's the key piece of the MCU going forward. And
yeah. Oh, forgot about Spider-Man. Yeah, Spider-Man around Christmas, right?
Yep, exactly.
Yep. So, all right, Kyle, take us out.
Okay, well, first and foremost, before I take us out, because Kevin has fought off zombies so well, just considering he's just a head in a glass jar this week, I'm going to award him 5 Excelsior points. And Kevin, I already know what you're going to earn with those 5 Excelsior points.
Oh, please do. This will be interesting.
You're going to get the Happy Hogan repulsor glove, but the only way it works is every time it goes off, you have to say blam.
Oh, I'll say blam. Yeah. Trust me.
Bam.
That'll get annoying quick.
Yeah.
Bam! Bam! Bam!
In other words, Aaron Gill's going to hunt me down and use it on me probably and make sure
I'm
far, far away. With that, though, it is time to get out of this episode of True Believers. You can find True Believers on the Fandom Podcast Network, which means you can find this on the Fandom Podcast Network master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. Of course, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Got a lot of fun things going on there. Getting it rolling. It's going to be fun on the YouTube channel soon. Also, too, if you want to contact us, again, the True Believers group page on Facebook, as well as the Fandom Podcast Network's page, where we keep you updated on all the happenings in fandom, whether it's movies, video games. You know, Kevin, did you take the blue or the red pill this week?
I don't know. I forgot which one was which, so I took them both.
That explains so much. But check out that. If you want to email us, you can email us directly at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram, Fandom Podcast Network, or on Twitter at FanPod Network. I am Kyle when I am not running from zombies or trying to make award winnings How to Survive the Zombie Apocalypse films with Peter Parker. You can find me on Twitter at AKyleW or on Instagram at AKyleFandom. Kevin, where can we find you and where can we get you some proper glass cleaner so you're dome doesn't steam up when you cry?
Twitter, Instagram, Spartan_Phoenix.
I'm wanting quippy barbs from him, not but you know, apparently the glass is cutting off oxygen circulation too. Drew, there's all kind of great places people can find you. Why don't you tell them where they can find you?
Yes. So you can find me on Twitter at Drew Kaplan and Instagram Drew Caps. As mentioned, I do a lot of Star Wars Maven. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, but also more relevantly, MCU stuff, MCU Maven on Facebook and Instagram. And then I have a YouTube channel, but you can find it all at mcumaven.com, where I post all of these appearances on this show on that website. So thank you.
And if he's looking a little gray under the gills in any of those, you know, just again, we're sorry that our quantum burst decontamination unit isn't quite working properly. Kevin hasn't bought new batteries for the Tesseract, so I blame And of course, there's a couple great ways you can support the True Believers and the Fandom Podcast Network. You can visit our TeePublic page, teepublic.com. We have True Believers gear up now. We've got shirts, we've got hoodies, we've got phone cases, laptop cases, pillows, all kinds of great stuff. Again, go to teepublic.com, search for the Fandom Podcast Network or your title of your favorite show on the Fandom Podcast Network. And of course, we love reviews too, because we love to know how we're doing. Of course, especially on when you leave those reviews on Apple Podcasts or iTunes or even on Spotify. Yeah, all those reviews help us get noticed a little more, and we really appreciate that. Of course, the 5-star reviews are great, but we love the feedback in general because we're always striving to make better podcasts, as we like to do, to feed your ears. Again, thank you to my guests, Mr. the Marvel Maven himself, Mr. Drew Kaplan. Again, just remember, go for the head every time. Kevin, again, you know, it's been a blast covering these what ifs. Rain-X is good for anti-fogging of your glass dome.
Yes, definitely.
Might not work for your glasses, but it'll work for the head dome.
Good.
Next up, we got another episode of What If. At this point, we don't trust anybody, so we're just going to see it.
If you're gonna believe IMDb, it looks like it's the Tony Stark Killmonger episode,
which is one I'm looking very forward to. Hmm. But
yes, because Chadwick Boseman also returns as T'Challa in that one. So I don't know. We'll see if IMDb doesn't lie to us.
I'm just wondering if Marvel didn't lie to IMDb specifically so they could cover up when the zombies episode was coming out.
Maybe. Yeah. Although it would have been interesting to have the zombies be later towards Halloween, but I don't know. We'll see.
You can never trust Kevin Feige. we appreciate him greatly.
Drew, thank you so much for coming on again, man. It was really good to have you.
Yeah, it was great being on again. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. If you haven't yet, don't be like Drew. Go see Shang-Chi.
He's going.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? If you're not comfortable going out, just a few more weeks and it's going to be out on Disney Plus for their premium package too. So, but in the meantime, whether you're waiting for the next episode of What If or you're waiting to go see Shang-Chi, as always, excelsior, true believers, and make ours Marvel.